Next, brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1. It is time to focus on Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra. And first of all, Maestro Lauren Green in to spend a little bit of time with us this morning. 60th anniversary season, and we are nearly done.
Well, good morning, Charlie. Yeah, we have been celebrating our 60 years in Bartlesville this season, and so with our concert coming up this Saturday, this is the grand finale.
Yeah, and looking backwards on just some of the things, opportunity to recognize some longtime symphony members, nearly original symphony members, as
I recall. We did that in our concert in March, and we were able to sort of look to the past and also look to the future and just celebrate what the Bartlesville Symphony has done for this town over these many decades.
Yeah, it certainly has been one of the cultural mainstays in the community for, 60 years.
Well, we like to think so.
Well, I will not disagree with you, sir. You've provided music of all types, of all sorts, of orchestral accompaniment to vocalists, to jazz singers, to groups that have come in.
We have tried to demonstrate that a symphony doesn't have to just be Beethoven's Fifth.
Yeah.
It is at its very core, that music. From that many people would call classical music, but at the same time it can be so much more and provide entertainment on many different levels.
Yeah, and even the so-called serious music, every once in a while the composer would play a joke on somebody.
Sure, and you know what we've also tried to do in some ways is to try to make that music accessible, to not always be so stuffy about it that because it's Mozart or because it's Beethoven, you have to sit on your hands and never smile. And it helps to know a little bit about the background. We try to give some background, some things to listen for, and to make it so it's a really enriching experience that's also fun.
Yeah, well, even when you bring in some, classically trained Juilliard musicians, they don't necessarily give you what you would think of as the typical Juilliard fare either.
I think you're doing a segue on me here.
I haven't jumped on one of those things in a long time, but transition.
But true. It is true. Just on the whole, that because you're classically trained doesn't mean you can't enjoy the music and you can't project that enjoyment on many levels. And the musicians we've had in.
Jimmy Rogers did a great job of bringing Oklahoma roots to.
Jimmy Webb.
Or Jimmy Webb. Why did I? Well, did. Jimmy Rogers. Rogers, different guy.
He was
Jimmy
before Webb. Our era, yes. But anyway, and Jimmy Webb, again, who has great musical training but has made a mark in music history in the 20th century and beyond. And so we had him in October. And then here we wind up with, in May, with Juilliard-trained musicians who you might think, oh my gosh, they play violin and viola and cello and they do this stuff, but who have really made a name over a couple decades now for themselves in mixing and matching genres. They sort of defy description and bring their classical training to bluegrass, to folk, to jazz. And this group's called the Annie Moses Band.
And they have, performed in at least a couple of area churches, so some folks may be familiar with
them. We're finding the more the word gets out, their fame is everywhere because they tour constantly. Almost every weekend they're out on the road somewhere from their home base in Nashville. And they perform in a wide variety of venues. They do perform in churches, some. They perform in performing arts centers on their own. They perform with symphonies like ours. They put out videos and DVDs, and their DVDs are some of the most popular DVDs on the PBS fundraisers over the years. And so they do a wide variety that really appeals to all sorts of different segments of audiences.
And I understand they are in the process of launching a TV show.
Apparently so.
We've learned that from a Facebook post.
Yeah. So they do beautiful videos. If you get on YouTube and Google Annie Moses Band, high production values, locations all in the Rockies, and just gorgeous stuff. And it has to be said that these are six people in the band. It varies, but we'll have six plus backups. And they're all siblings. Mm-hmm. And what I was going to say, and they're all very good looking. So they blend in with their beautiful environments and their videos very well. But these siblings, brothers and sisters, have been playing together since they were very, very young. And as they sort of got older, they joined the band. Mm-hmm. So the band started out as three players, then four, then five, then six. And now spouses are starting to be involved in the operation. And mom and dad have always been involved. And the dad is Bill Wolliver. He is a very well-known arranger, pianist, songwriter in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so from the time they started raising their family, they trained them in music starting at the age of four. These kids practiced a couple hours a day every day in standard classical training. Eventually, three of the older ones went to Juilliard and worked in the preparatory division at Juilliard for 3 years or so. And so they really developed their musical chops. But they have such this broad base of musical experience through their dad, and he does all their arrangements still. And so now the group includes not only the siblings, but there are some children tagging along, and it's really interesting to see how this band has literally grown up before our eyes.
You know, as you were talking about the family, I started thinking about all these other family organizations, whether you take it back to the Mills brothers or the Ames brothers or the Donnie and Marie and the whole Osmond family, the Jackson family.
Well, what a better way to develop an ensemble and a feeling of rapport than by doing it from before you can almost remember. Mm-hmm. And so the Wolliver family has done this, and they call themselves the Annie Moses Band, which seems sort of like a non sequitur, but Annie Moses was apparently the siblings, the band's great grandmother, who lived during the Depression era and was sort of quite a role model for mm-hmm. all the family in terms of her survival and faith and so forth. So they named the band after this lady, and so people assume sort of that the lead singer's name is Annie Moses, yeah. But it's really not. Her name is Annie, but Annie Moses lived a long time ago. But this is the band. They have wonderful arrangements that they play with the symphony, and it ranges from music of Gershwin to Copland to a lot of their own stuff and a lot of traditional things like Orange Blossom Special and so forth. So it really covers the territory.
Yeah, when a violinist turns it around and becomes a fiddler, you've got to play Orange Blossom Special somewhere.
Absolutely. And when you've got three or four fiddlers on stage, then it really gets crazy. And they do. And it's fun. And they sort of actually work in a little bit of shtick into the Orange Blossom, because at one point Annie, the lead violinist and singer, sort of takes off on this classical cadenza and shows off her classical chops, and everybody gets pretty disgusted. And then we get back to the music at hand with Orange Blossom. But the program overall is called American Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. And this is the name of an album they released in 2015. And it just sort of explores the roots of American music and the soul of Americana. And as I say, covers that territory from American classical, such as Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue and Copland's Rodeo, to a lot of other stuff, traditional tunes.
They've kind of put their own twist on the Gershwin piece, though.
They have. They call it Rhapsody in Bluegrass. And they do. It's quite fun. And they mash up a few other tunes in the middle there and play it faster than you can possibly imagine. So it's really fun, and it's really, really great.
Okay. We were talking with Lauren Green, talking about this Saturday night's Portisville Symphony Concert. Tickets, I believe, remain. There are some good seats available.
Absolutely. There are tickets at the community center, so you can go there to the box office and buy them. You can. Molly, this is your line.
Molly, good morning. I did not even introduce you to the listener. Molly's in here as well. Thanks for coming in.
Molly's our operations director, and so
yes,
she has memorized her line very carefully.
Right, I get one line. You can get tickets at www.bsic.org, or you can get them by calling the Bartlesville Community Center at 918-336-2787. We can't wait to see you there.
And we'll continue with Molly and Lauren when we continue in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, Call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And continuing our time with Lauren Green, talking about this weekend's Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra concert, along with the Annie Moses Band, and this is going to be, I think, a fun concert. You have kind of fit the orchestra around all kinds of performers just over the past year. Again, going back to everything from By the Time I Get to Phoenix and the journey that you took with that one to just now here with the Annie Moses Band. A lot of preparation work so that you can be flexible when the band actually meets the orchestra.
You're right. The way these things work, and people are sometimes interested in how we put shows like this together, that basically the group, the band, the artist, whatever, will very often send their music ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They have their arrangements. In this case, they're all done by, as we said, Bill Wolliver, who is the father/arranger/head guru of the Annie Moses Band. And so he sent all his arrangements several weeks back. And actually, this is just a sign of the times. Mm-hmm. It was not a big box of music that arrived. It was files on Dropbox or Google Docs, mm-hmm, that I had to print out and then assemble. And then we give it to the orchestra players. We practice without the band a few times. Make sure we sort of know our notes. We can sort of second guess how the tunes go, especially when you've got a group or entertainers like Annie Moses Band who have put out a lot of videos. Mm-hmm. You can sort of go on YouTube and find just about anything they've recorded and assume it's going to be very similar, if not identical, to how they've recorded it. And then we wait for the band to arrive. And in this case, they will be arriving on Friday and be with us on Friday night rehearsal and Saturday afternoon rehearsal. And we put it all together there, and then we do the show Saturday night. And so it sort of gets thrown together quickly, but yet a lot of people are very grateful to have two rehearsals. Many places, they just do it in one rehearsal.
Yeah, but this is something that I just try to highlight the magic of your players, because it is something to be, you know, prepared and yet still flexible. The tempo may not exactly be the
exactly
way you rehearse it.
You have to be prepared for anything. So a lot of times I will practice a piece or a song if I'm not quite sure, especially, and say, okay, let's do it really fast just in case. Or let's do it on slower. Let's make a slow down at this point because I don't know how much they're going to do, but let's get used to doing it multiple ways. Yeah. And then we can adapt. And we're not locked in.
Yeah, but that's not something that the stereotype for the quote classical player is you have set the tone. This is the way it is. This is how we're going to do it every time we play it.
Yeah, and the role of the conductor changes quite a bit too, because you know, if we do an orchestra-only piece, then a lot of it falls on my shoulders, mm-hmm, that whole area of what's called interpretation, where I try to follow what the composer said, but I sort of add my own understanding of it, and then I guide the orchestra in doing it as a unified whole. When we're working with a band like this, then my role is a little bit different in that I'm the middleman, a little bit, because to some degree it's their show, it's their music. They know how it goes. They know how they want it and how it works best in their mind. So then my task is to take that, allow the orchestra to work with that, and show them how we can fit together.
And yet it's the same skills that you and the orchestra would do anytime you have a soloist for a concerto.
You know, you're right. Yeah. You're right, because there's always room for interpretation, both by the conductor and by the performer. And that balancing between what the performer wants and what the conductor slash orchestra wants can go different directions depending on the personalities involved and so forth.
And
so
that's the reason to go to the symphony live performance, because it's created special just for you in that moment.
It is, and a lot of times at the moment is the key word, because all the planning in the world doesn't always result in exactly what you'd planned.
Yeah.
And so there are moments of inspiration or moments of disaster or whatever, and the audience may or may not know, but it all goes into shaping a live experience that can't be produced on recording.
Yeah, and that to me is exactly the why we need to go,
right.
You know, be in person. Try not to cough too many times because that distracts the orchestra, but it is what it is. It's a live performance.
And the Annie Moses Band, they're in it to be entertainers, but they also have a larger mission of really bringing music to America in its many shapes and forms. And this whole idea that you don't have to pigeonhole yourself musically, that quality music comes in all shapes and sizes, and that it is important that live music be experienced by the whole age range. And so they have even begun summer programs for young musicians in Tennessee there. They have Annie Moses Music Camp, and they have a conservatory they've started that works with kids on an ongoing basis. So they really have a mission to educate and provide musical experiences.
Will they be doing anything in the schools while they're here in town? Do you know? Not this time.
Not this time, no.
It just didn't work out time-wise with their arrival, and they travel with a lot of people. So they bring not only the band of six people and then backup musicians of four more, plus a few more spouses and sound engineers and babies and whatever. So I don't know who we're expecting, but it was hard to work out the scheduling with that.
Well, besides the Annie Moses Band putting the frosting, so to speak, on your 60th anniversary season, you get to give us a preview of what we might be hearing or looking forward to next year.
Well, we will be talking about that, and I can maybe drop a few little.
It's one of those
today.
Questions that I ask pro forma. I may or may not get an answer for you, but if I don't ask, I'm not doing my job.
Well, I could give you a political answer and say,
Thursday night I get to talk to the candidates for governor, so
you'll get your political answers in. No, we have some exciting stuff, and we will be announcing it on Saturday, but let's just drop a few hints that there will be a favorite romantic piano concerto somewhere in the season, the Rachmaninoff No. 2. For those of you who are classical buffs, at the same time, there will be another piano piece at a different time in the season that is accompanied by a big band with saxophones and trumpets, a full-blown jazz big band with strings as well. And so that's really unusual piece of music, very jazzy, very out there. So that'll be fun. So as is usual, we're going to be presenting a wide variety of stuff. And also, we might just say that if anybody sort of grew up in the 80s, there's a concert they're going to have a lot of fun at.
Okay.
So we'll say that.
Sounds like plenty of hints, and we can wonder for a day or two or three and then actually hear the announcement, see the announcement live and in person.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of fun next season.
Yeah. And yes, we talk about Lauren and we talk about the musicians, but there's more to the symphony, and sometimes we don't understand the director, the organizational director job. You have a lot of details to do all year long.
Absolutely. There's just three of us as staff for the symphony who help the organization run, and of course the symphony itself has some folks that help to make the symphony itself run with Lauren, but there's Randy, the development director, myself, the operations director, and then Lauren, the conductor. We have a lovely board of 15-17 folks who help steer us, and then we have the musicians who play, and then some folks who help them, but it is a lot of work to do the things that we do. We've got to be real efficient and fast and make good decisions
and keep an ear to the ground on what people are looking for. There are certain artistic things that the symphony would like to do, but you want to please your audience too.
Absolutely. And much to Lauren's chagrin, or maybe his happiness, Randy, my coworker, and I are not professionally trained musicians. We don't have a music background. background. So he continually is teaching us about what we need to know. So we do the organization part. The symphony knows their music, and Lauren has to balance us all. So,
wow. You do more than I thought you did.
Well, and one of the biggest challenges for any group, as you would well know, Charlie, is just maintaining the forward momentum. And that is both artistic, and that is also, of course, financial, because the people paying to get in to see these shows, that doesn't pay for it. So we rely heavily on corporate donors and supporters and individuals who are willing to give beyond the cost of their ticket to keep the symphony going. And so it's very important as we look to the future.
Get your tickets. It is the Saturday night symphony concert.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great evening with the Annie Moses Band Saturday night at the Community Center. The symphony and some great virtuoso musicians playing bluegrass, jazz, everything you can imagine.
Sounds like fun. Be there. Get your tickets now. Bartlesville Symphony Orchestra Saturday night. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network.
In public schools, the group Oklahoma Taxpayers Unite filed paperwork with the Secretary of